This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Now, it's no surprise that the church, Christians, have always been under immense scrutiny and criticism. No matter what you do, no matter what happens in the world, it's the Christian's fault. It's the Christian's fault. No matter what they do, they'll label you and call you evil. And so regardless of what they accuse you of or how they treat you, you still maintain your testimony. You still love.
Today, Pastor Eddie will be explaining to you that there is no doubt that persecution is a reality of living the Christian life. Christian persecution is to be expected. The Apostle Paul warned that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said that if they persecuted him, they will also persecute his followers. Jesus made it clear that those of the world will hate Christians because the world hates Christ. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. As he begins his message, Submission to Authority.
He begins by saying, beloved, which is something that it's hard to see someone that's tough like Peter. You know, if you know Peter, he was a tough guy. Okay, he was a fisherman. He had tough hands. You know, they arrest Jesus and already takes out his sword and cuts the ear off a soldier. And Jesus said, put your sword. And, you know, he's ready to fight. This is the kind of man he is. Now he's a gentle guy. He calls us beloved in the first readers. It's because he loves and he cares and he wants our attention. And so he pleads with us. What does he say? He says now in verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. People always talking about, is alcohol a sin? Well, if you get drunk, the Bible says, right? And we're so legalistic about getting drunk, but we don't talk about gluttony, right? How much bread did you have? I'm not sinning, and you're just blowing up because you have like 20 loaves of bread. And yeah, it's sin. It's just as much a sin as those that get drunk. And so anyway, that is the difference between having a good desire and a bad desire. So a desire, lust, only becomes wrong when it attempts to satisfy that desire in ways that is contrary to the word of God. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. So we abstain from the fleshly lust. It not only helps us with this battle of the flesh, but it helps us in our conduct and how we act, how we live out as Christians in a way that would honor God for those who don't believe. Now, the word Gentile is used here, is frequently used for one who is a non-Jew, but in the context, as we read here, okay, context is king. We just don't take a word. Context is king. If I say apple, what am I talking about? The actual apple? The apple of someone's eye? The Apple computer? Or the Apple New York City? Okay? It all depends on how you use the word. Here is used in the sense of those who are unbelievers, because we know that the first readers of 1 Peter, as we studied when we did introduction, is a mixture of believers who are both Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. So he's saying, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, your good conduct, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, it's no surprise that the church, Christians, have always been under immense scrutiny and criticism. No matter what you do, no matter what happens in the world, it's the Christian's fault. It's the Christian's fault. No matter what they do, they'll label you and call you evil. And so regardless of what they accuse you of or how they treat you, you still maintain your testimony. You still love. You still love. You don't repay evil for evil. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the visitation. The day of visitation means here is a common metaphor for God's final judgment. However, it could also refer to any time the Lord, by his grace, draws near. And so verses 11 and 12, we're to live godly life in agnostic, godless, pagan world. And it's the truth. More and more people are not believing God. You know, and we can see the lawlessness and the evil that goes around. We can see that what has been considered, not only forget about what's been considered, forget what God calls sin, it's okay. What's bad is good, and what good is bad. And so we are to continue to live godly. Now in verses 13 to 17, Paul is going to exhort us to submit to government. A beautiful topic. The sound of the words of submission and government. Those two. I don't know which one is more better. Submission or government. And I know that's been, you know, when we think of government, you know, the hair stands behind our head, you know. And most of us, because we have to pay so much taxes. Or we're not happy with the policies of what they stand for. And it's understandable. But let's see what God has to say. Because even though this was written 2,000 years ago, this applies for Christians today. Okay? Look at verse 13. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Every, not some, don't select. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme or to governors. Remember, we're sojourners. We are pilgrims on this earth. Our citizenship is not here. However, while we hear Christ and God by his word tells us that we're submit to every ordinance. We are to submit to every law, every institution, everyone who is in authority. And so let's look at that word. What the word submit means in the Greek is haputasso. That's what it means, haputasso. And it means to arrange under, to subordinate, to submit to one's control. That's what that means. The military term, it means to arrange, you know, like troops in a military fashion under the commanding commander of a leader. Or in a non-military, it means of having a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibilities, and carrying a burden. So that's what that means. It means to submit. Now, many, quite often, I could tell you, when we see that word submit, if, you know, this is how we can check the hearts. If all of a sudden you don't like it, and I have to admit, I'm with you. I'm going to be transparent here. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like you want to rebel. And I'm not saying we have a rebellious spirit, but we think, why should I submit? We just don't like the word. And we're not even told who to submit, just the word. Understandably, you know, throughout, you know, as you know, time goes by, generation after generation after generation in this world, we see the abuse of those who are in power. And so I understand the frustration. But nonetheless, God is a God of order. God is a God of order. And we're a representative of who Christ is and who God is. And we need to set the example. Because God sees all things and he knows all things. So as Christians, followers of Christ, we are commanded. This is a command to submit to every ordinance of man. Now here in verse 13, if you look at verse 13, Peter lists three authorities that we are to submit to. Three. Number one, the ordinance of man. This speaks in today's, it speaks of institutions such as the justice system or the IRS. The IRS. Okay? That's what it means. So don't lie on your taxes. Don't cheat on your taxes because you may get away with it. And then if you don't, you know, they'll find out. But then you're being dishonest to God. God knows that you're not being honest with your IRS. Boy, I know you're going to love today's sermon. It's going to be great. And then the second thing he says, we're to submit to the kings as supreme. And that's speaking of, for our case, the President of the United States. We were to respect that and submit to that authority. And then governors, which speaks of those who write the law and those who enforce the law, like law enforcement. And so we're to submit to that. And there's a lot of reasons why we should, even though we disagree. And we're going to get to talk a little bit about when we don't have to, okay? Just to, you know, make you feel a little comfortable because you're going to, you know. Anyway, know that all authorities that exist are appointed by God, first of all. We have to understand it's appointed by God. And if you resist the authorities here, whether it's in the country or state or your county or local, whatever, that you resist the ordinance of God. Because the word is filled with it, not only in this passage, but also Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, I'm sorry. This is what Paul wrote. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So it's not only in Peter's writing, the Apostle Paul also tells us in the book of Romans, we're to submit because it's been appointed by God. And chapter 13, all human governments are instituted by God. Rulers are God's servants, as we can see. Even if the rulers don't believe in God, even if they're atheists, dictators, tyrants, they are still what God had placed in authority. Quite often we say, well, why would God place that person in authority? Well, sometimes, you know, you get what you ask for. You get what you ask for. And so that's why they're in authority. And so, you know, if we're a nation that doesn't pray and seek God, God said, pray, and I will heal your land. If I don't hear, I will heal your land. But we're not praying. We're not praying. We're not even praying for the elected officials, whether you voted for them or not. You pray for them, and you're to honor them and respect them. Because here it is, a ruler is better than no ruler. You have to have someone in position. Any government is better than no government. And I understand, you still need something to govern, to bring control, to bring order. And of course, throughout the years and throughout centuries, that has not fallen well. But nonetheless, it doesn't say, hey, if they're not, you know, handling your taxes right, then you don't have to pay taxes. That's not in the scripture. That's not in the scripture. It's a lot of things that are tax dollars that are paying for things that I totally disagree with. I'm not for pro-choice because that's murder, regardless how you put it. And I don't like that my dollars have to be paid for that. But you know what? I'm not responsible. God tells me to pay my taxes. And how they distribute is up to them. They're going to have to answer to God. And how many babies are being killed. Save the whales, hug the trees, but we're killing ourselves. And so they're going to have to answer to God. However, with all the submission, we're to submit to every institution, all in authority. However, here's where we draw the line. Here's where we draw the line. When we refuse to obey the government, it's when the law goes against the clear teaching of the Word of God. When the governor says, you cannot assemble and worship God, then we say, I'm sorry, the Bible tells me to do that. If they say you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is also freedom of speech, but that's also being challenged in so many ways, you know, then we say, I'm sorry, I have to obey the Word of God. I'll listen to all the, whatever rules you have, the laws that are being implemented, you want to enforce them, by all means. But if you're telling me not to be a Christian, because that's who I am, I'm to share the gospel, I'm to gather and worship, then that's where we draw the line. You remember in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John were commanded by the rulers, the elders, the scribes, and Ananias, the high priest, was there. And they told them, do not speak and teach the name of Jesus. That's what they told them in Jerusalem. And this is right after Jesus ascended, and the book of Acts, Peter and John sharing the gospel, people are getting saved, people are being healed. They told them, do not speak or teach the name of Jesus. And this is what Peter and John said to them in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. They said, so they called them, the religious leader called Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But, in verse 19, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that's where we draw the line. That's where we draw the line. And so we see Peter, who's the one telling us to submit. Interestingly, that we're reading the first epistle of Peter, he's telling us to submit. And he showed us also where we draw the line because he was there. He's telling us submit to governing authorities. But he also is saying that if they tell we can't but share the name of Jesus Christ, that's where you draw the line. The same Peter. He's telling you submit to all governing authorities. The same Peter that said, nope, I'm going to teach the word of God. So you can give me all the rules. You can put me in jail, do whatever you want. I'm going to preach the name of Jesus Christ. And so this is where we draw the line. Back to Peter. Let's look at verse 13 again. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme, verse 14, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of those who do good. It's amazing how, you know, we want law enforcement. We want all the help from the government. But yet, you know, we don't want them. We want to defund them. And look at, you know, I'm not getting political here, but it doesn't make sense. It has nothing to do with the parties, even though some of the parties were pushing it. But here's the thing. You get rid of police, what's going to secure the families? What's going to secure to protect the people? That's where you call 911. Sorry, there was a budget cut. It doesn't make sense. They're there for that reason. Anyhow, when we go to Romans chapter 13 again, this time let's read verses 3-7. Paul again deals with this topic. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's why we need them. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praises from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes." Here he's talking about taxes. "For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And I know this is not a popular topic. This is not something you want to call, "Oh, I want to go to church, get encouraged." But this is the reality. We must be obedient to God. And I know it's hard. It's hard when you have, you know, things that are, you know, legislators are passing laws as if it makes sense. And the way they use it, now they want more and more. Listen, I get it. You know, I'm with you. But you know what? God knows. You remain faithful and God would bless you. You be obedient and you'll be at peace with God. You go against that, then you have to answer to God. You see, the problem is you want to handle it yourself, but you're not allowing God to handle it. And when you rebel, which in itself it's wrong, rebellious, be rebelled. But if you rebel, then God's going to step back. It is not going to go in your favor. It's not going to go in your favor. And this is what we understand. Let's put it this way. With all the governing authorities that we have in this world, who's in control? God. God is in control. God is in control. He sees all things. He knows all things. And when we be obedient to him, then we follow. And it's to be submissive to what the word of God tells us. This, you may say, well, you know what, that's written ancient time, and okay, so then if that be the case, based on that logic, that this doesn't apply to us because written almost 2,000 years ago, then salvation and the cross should be the same, isn't it? Everything in the Word of God is not outdated, is there for reason. And that's why it says the Word of God is inspired by God, you know, it's there for correction, for reproof, and it never returns back to God void. It's a reason. These are principles. And it doesn't matter what time is still applicable for us today. Let's look at verse 15. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." The word silence here in the Greek, it means to muzzle, like as you were to muzzle a ox or muzzle even a dog. You know, you have to put a muzzle. And it means to leave someone speechless. You continue so that you could put, you know, silence them, speech that they remain speechless, they defeated in the debate, unable to answer because of exposure of guilt. So you put them to silence when you do the will of God, when you do what is good, you put to silence And the only way to put him to silence, the ignorance of man, is by doing what is good, by submitting to every ordinance of man, to Cain's governors. And so, you know, this is God's will for us. This is God's will. And this is something you're going to have to pray. If there's an attitude in the heart, say, well, you know what? It's between you and the Lord. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? We're studying the word of God. And that's what we're doing. And I understand. Verse 16, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. So though we are free and though we are servants of God, we are not to use our freedom as an excuse to do evil, because we are bond servants. Bond servant is a willing slave, is a slave that's willing to be a slave to their master. Okay, in the Old Testament, they would put an earring. They would take, if they 7 years was the law, 6 years, they were to be a slave. It's not the slave that we think of today. But if the seventh year, they figure, hey, you know what? I am free to go. My master has been good to me. I love the 401k plan. I love the medical plan. I love all that, you know. I'm going to stay with my master. He's been really good to me. And so what they would do is they would go to the priest. They'll take their ear, take an owl, and they'll punch a hole on their ear to the doorpost of the house, meaning they are part of that house. He did it willingly, and they'll put an earring on their ear. And whenever you saw a slave serving with an earring, that shows, it lets everybody know he willingly is a slave. He chose to stay there. And that's what that was. And that's the reason for that. But he sits on a bond slave. We're bond servants of God. We willingly want to serve God because of what he's done for us. And so with this principle, he's going to give us four brief commands in verse 17. Verse 17, four commands. He says, honor all people. And we're to honor all people, respect all people. Whether they're honorable or not, you respect them and you honor them. It says all people. No exceptions, regardless of race, color, religion, whatever it is. We don't agree with their gods. We only worship the one true God. But regardless, we're to respect all people, honor, respect all people, you know, whether they believe in Christ or not, whether they love Christians or not, we're to honor them and we're to respect them. Jesus said, again, in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the good works of that is to honor them and glorify your Father in heaven. The next short command he gives us, to love the brotherhood. And we know this. We see that throughout the scriptures. Jesus gave us the greatest command. Love your neighbor or love one another so they may know that you're my disciples. And the word here is the agape. It's an unconditional love. It's not a love if or when or because. It's a love period. Is an unconditional love and is a Christ-like love, and we're to love one another. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you.
Aren't you glad you decided to join us today on Running the Race? Pastor Eddie has been diving into the New Testament book of 1 Peter. When you feel like you want to give up and quit, this book is for you. The Apostle Peter reminds Christians to persevere, even when it's tough. This is how our faith in God grows. The things of this world are temporal. They will fade away. But God won't. So, no matter how unjust or unforeseen our struggles are, hold tight to the hope found in God. We pray that God's Word has touched your heart today and motivated you in unique ways that relate to the Scripture taught. Running the Race is a radio ministry out of Calvary Chapel of Milford. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area, Jessica has an invitation for you.
We'd love to have you come join us at Calvary Chapel of Milford. We're conveniently located off Interstate 84 and Route 6. For service times and all the information you need, visit runningtheraceradio.com and click on the Back to Homepage button. While you're there, you can listen to this teaching again or explore more messages from Pastor Eddie. Again, that website is runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. Head over to runningtheraceradio.com to learn more about the church and get all the information you need. Pastor Eddie has more to share with you next time, so make sure to come back again to hear more great things from the book of 1 Peter. Thank you for spending part of your day with us here on Running the Race.